I am amazed by these gospel texts. I like to think about how the maker of the entire universe, who transcends time and is far beyond anything our little brains could conceive, became a human being and was with us for only these 3 years of public ministry. And we have these texts. And if God, who transcends time, became a person, then every word that he said, every decision that he made, every movement, God knew we would be listening 2,000 years later. Everything that Jesus did was meant to speak to us today, and every day between now and when Jesus first walked the earth. So let's go back 2,000 years and look at this incredible gospel text today. Together, let's look at every little detail, because in every detail, God is showing us how to be human, how to be our best selves, the person that God intends for us to be. But before we go back, I want to tell you about this picture that I have. It was probably 30 years ago now that I graduated from seminary, and I went to the Holy Land, and I hadn't prepared very well. I had those disposable cameras you would use and then develop the film and throw away? It was such a waste. Anyway, I was on the shore of the Sea of Galilee as the sun was setting, and I snapped a picture with one of those disposable cameras. When I developed it, though, it was beautiful. And that was not through my doing. Ask my husband, I'm not a photographer. But I blew up the picture to poster size, and it has hung in every house that I've owned since. The picture is of the shore of the sea, which really is a lot like kind of a Lake Michigan size body of water. Another name that they give it is Lake Gennesaret. So they call it Sea of Galilee, but it's a huge lake. But it's surrounded by mountains. And right across from where I was standing are these two mountains that kind of crisscross down. They create a funnel. It's called the Dove's Pass. And the wind, which is swirling around, will funnel through the Dove's Pass. And because it is funneling, it gets stronger and more intense as it consolidates through the passage. And then it hits the water. So the Sea of Galilee can be very calm. And then all of a sudden, that wind comes through the funnel onto the water, and it picks up. And the sea can get very rough very quickly. So in this beautiful passage that Foster read so well, it begins with Jesus doing something that we don't pay much attention to, but it's immensely important. It begins with Jesus having some seriously good boundaries. He has spent the whole day teaching and healing people, and then in the gospel we read last week that Mark preached on, he multiplies fishes and loaves so that everyone can eat. So it's been a pretty busy day, full of people who wanted his attention, who deserved his attention. sick people who needed to be healed, people who were hungry to know God and to listen to his teachings. And yet, as the day begins to end, Jesus tells them all to go away. I don't know about you, but I have trouble telling people no or go away. Do you? Can you imagine if there was this whole crowd, almost like you were a celebrity, clamoring for any second from you? And I imagine, by the way, that a lot of people said to Jesus, why do those disciples get to spend so much time with you? Why can't I come with you? It's not fair. To tell a crowd like that to go home, you would have to be pretty firm. And not only that, I'm sure the crowd left and then the disciples were like, okay, what are we going to do next? And Jesus says, you're going to go fishing. I'm going to go be alone. The Son of God said, when? The Son of God said, no. The Son of God said, I need to rest. I need some time to pray. So it's okay if you do that too. God does not ask any of us to bleed ourselves dry, because guess what? We wouldn't be able to do much good, would we? So Jesus dismisses everybody, and he goes up a mountain to pray, just like Elijah in 1 Kings. We heard he went up a mountain. And Elijah experiences the presence of God in sheer silence. Eloquent silence. Jesus must have experienced God that way too. And he's up the mountain for hours and hours. When he comes down the mountain, the disciples have been sent out and they're supposed to go to the other shore. He's going to meet them on the other shore. But they've gotten stuck, because a wind has come through the Dove's Pass and picked up the water, and they can't seem to go in the direction that they want to go. And so in the midst of this wind, and just as the sun is beginning to rise, but it's still very dark out, they see this figure coming towards them on the water. I don't know what you would think. I would be terrified. They say, it's a ghost! Ah! And Jesus says, take heart, it's me. And the Greek is so beautiful. It's kind of like, cheer up, or relax, take it easy, it's all right. Lighten it up. It's okay. All is well. It's just me. He says the same thing when he cures the paralytic. It's okay. All is well. Get up. Or to the woman who was bleeding, who gets healed just by grabbing his robe, he says the same thing. It's all good. You're okay. It's me. Don't be afraid. And then Peter, all the rest of them are just still terrified, but Peter, who is so brave and makes the biggest mistakes, and I love this guy, and he says, if it's really you, call me out on the water. Command me, instruct me, just tell me what to do, call me forward. And Jesus says, come. And for this beautiful moment, Peter, this kind of bumbling idiot, is totally focused on God. He is totally focused on Jesus. He loves Jesus. He wants to be with Jesus. That's all he's thinking about. And because he is so focused and so full of love, he gets out of the boat and he starts walking on the water. And it shows us what we are capable of if we could just really trust God. But then, of course, the wind picks up through the Dove's Pass, probably shoves Peter a little, and he goes, oh, the wind. Oh my God, you know, what am I doing? I must be crazy. This is insane. And as soon as distraction and fear hit his mind, he begins to sink. I think that God knew that 2,000 and some years later, we would also experience all kinds of sinking when we get afraid. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get overwhelmed by all the problems in the world, and I get stuck in what I can do about it, and I begin to sink. I can almost see the waters coming over my head, like, oh, what? I can't do, what am I doing? This is all, what's the purpose of life? Despair can suck you down, can't it? But as Peter is watching the water rising up over him, he cries out, Lord, save me. The name Jesus means the one who saves. And I want to pause for a minute and just think about his name, because it's so misused right now and it's thrown around. Jesus is not some political statement meant to galvanize an agenda. Jesus was a man who walked the earth for 3 years, who was also God. And Christ is what God would become and is in him. The risen Jesus is Christ. It's not Jesus' last name. And by golly, it's not a swear. Don't use the name Jesus in a swear word, please. It's holy. It's a good thing. But if you want to know who Jesus was, stay very close to the scripture, because there's all kinds of people that claim that he belongs to them. He doesn't belong to anyone except God. But that name is powerful, and it should be spoken in love and in prayer. The one who saves. Peter cries out, and Jesus is right there. And you know Peter didn't get very far on the water. Come on. He couldn't have possibly made it all the way to Jesus. But all of a sudden, Jesus is right there. Because if you ask for him, he is right there. He will not let you drown. He will not let you die in despair. He will not let you be swallowed up by darkness. All you have to do is ask. He's right there. Whether you can feel it or not, whether you know it or not, God loves you and is right there with you, waiting to reach down and pull you back. And then I can just hear Jesus sort of chuckling or laughing and saying, oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt? Why can't you trust me? And that is really the story of the human race, isn't it? I mean, when it boils down to it, we really in our lives have a simple choice. We can choose to be full of ourselves, or we can choose to be full of God. We can choose to focus on ourselves, or we can choose to focus on God. And our lives are going to be different depending on what we choose. But if you want to focus on yourself and how you're doing and what people think about you, or whether you're doing okay, or whether you can fix this or that, you're going to sink. But if you can get your mind out of yourself onto God, God calls each of you with a very specific calling. You have been given gifts that are miraculous. I don't know what they are. Some of you know what your gifts are, some don't. I'm willing to walk with you in trying to find out what they are. But every one of you has a superpower, has something that you're extraordinary at, some way that you can walk on water. And I don't know what it is, but I know that you have it. Every one of you has the divine spark within yourselves. And you can walk with Christ into something extraordinary, but you have to be willing to turn over your fear. You have to set your eyes on the prize. Focus. And when stuff bangs you around and the wind comes up and you lose a job or you get divorced or somebody hates you or you need money, you don't let it bring you down. You continue to focus. You are eternal beings meant for more than just this life. And with Christ, you have incredible potential. All of you. Just trust me, Jesus says. Step out of yourself onto the water and look at me and watch as you take one step at a time into something extraordinary. Amen.